right. Time to shut up and listen to me. All right. Let's be sure we're in fellowship. It always helps. Being out of fellowship manifests itself by indifference and other unworthy attitudes, because we're coming before God and His Word. And yeah, I know I'm the communicator, but that's my job. That's my responsibility. And He's kept me here this long, so I must be doing something right. And enough that if you pay attention and apply, you can achieve the greatest blessing that a human can achieve. And that is the eternal reward distribution that's only going to be given to those that were under sound doctrine in time and took it seriously until they breathed their last or were raptured out of here. So that's, so far, that's what my intention is. And from last time, we had a series of exhortations where we are to celebrate the good blessings of others and rejoice as if it was our own. If something good happens to them and they're blessed in the plan of God, we can go, yeah, rather than the usual attitude of resentment or indifference. We're members of a family, by the way. It takes some getting used to, but we're members of a family. We're members of the family that will last forever. The family of God is His children, and this is the relationship we will maintain forever. The relationships we had down here, yeah, so-and-so was my human brother in time, and they're in heaven, but that was my wife in time. This is not anymore. The marriage is over with phase three. And what will our relationship be? Well, you know, it'll be good. It'll be a good relationship. So we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. Those are the two extremes on the spectrum of emotions, celebrating and shedding tears. Those are the two extremes, and that we are not indifferent to the royal family and what it's going through. Then we're to be of the same mind towards one another. That means we are to think alike on topics. Like we had a pop quiz. Is this the will of God for a person? Check yes, check no. We'll make it real simple. Is this a divine viewpoint? Is this a correct statement? And on and on and on, and have a big check them all off. Now, whether you're in compliance with all of them, that's another matter. But to know and to be able to say, yeah, that's the divine viewpoint. And we all agree on it. If you have all the splintered groups with all the different stuff going on, what is that? That isn't godly. That isn't of God. God, the members of the Godhead are unified. All the elect angels are unified. They're all on the same page. All think alike. And we're working on it. And we've made a lot of progress with regard to the divine viewpoint. What does the Bible teach about fill in the blank? And we've made a lot of progress. And we have to pick up on them and reiterate them. The importance of doctrine, the importance of face-to-face teaching. As I ended up, I think, last session was getting your priorities straight and not being conformed and pursuing the cosmos and the things of the cosmos at the expense of your Christian life. You can have a hobby. You can have a personal interest, you know, that we're not talking about that. We're talking about that which materially interferes with you being what you need to be as a believer in a local church. Let me put it again. The Jews in the desert wanderings for 40 years, once they got that tabernacle up and running at Sinai, whenever they camped, there's 12 tribes, right? and there's four directions. So three tribes on each of the on the north side, east, west, and south, according to divine specification, and they and that's where all their tents were. And what center? The doctrine house. The tabernacle and its ritual, which teaches about God and his plan through ritual. And the priesthood. That's to be center. Yeah, during the daytime you can do what you're going to do. You know, and then once they got in the land, obviously they had as their centerpiece eventually Solomon's temple. Do you know they lost the tabernacle for a while? They lost the Ark of the Covenant for a while? Couldn't find it? While they were living in the land. It's in your book of Judges, I believe. Anyway, it's in there. Don't quote me on that part. But they lost track of it. It got restored to the temple and everything, restored in the time of David. He was very excited about it. They brought it to Jerusalem. That the most important piece of furniture, we'll call it furniture, in the tabernacle is the Ark of the Covenant. They made a stupid movie about it. Yeah, I mean that's the cosmos for you, Hollywood. Oh, we're gonna make a Bible movie or something that deals with, and just screw it up, something fierce, because they have no respect for the Bible. They did one on Noah that was so obnoxious. I mean, way off track. I wouldn't go watch that with a gun to my head. You know, I thought the old ones, the old yesteryear ones, were bad enough. You know, they had an effeminate Jesus with long hair, and please. And then and others that they did. But Hollywood, these people could do a phenomenal movie depicting historical biblical events. If they take the Bible seriously, anybody, an unbeliever, can read it. But they add stuff and take stuff out, and pretty soon it's not recognizable. It's a joke. So we're to be like-minded. And some people don't want that. They think it's some kind of virtue in thinking differently. We are to be of the same mind and toward one another as we interact. We should be able, in an ideal world, say something about the Bible, whatever. Pick something. Yeah, right on. That's the true basis of fellowship. Not a bunch of people thinking different things on different topics. We are like-minded. But that's up to you as an individual. If you want to join the like-minded crowd or stay off on the fringe out here. Well, I don't agree with that, but okay. Then you're wise in your own estimation, and that's the one that's at the end of this one right here. But first, we are not to be high-minded. That's point 11 on page 15. We're not to be high-minded, haughty of mind. What's that mean? It's thinking highly of yourself based on some temporal advantages you might have. Constant, a regular cosmos thing. Material possessions. Where I went to school. Blah, blah, blah. Thinking highly of yourself. In the way the cosmos out there thinks of and celebrates celebrities. Oh, this guy did. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like I said before, and I was using the example of a massive car collection, of Mr. Jay Leno. Oh, it's impressive. What are you going to do? Just stare and stare at him all day? Get up a seat and just look down on him? And realize one day you're not going to be able to touch one of them. Because you're going to be dead. Oh, you might get talk someone into burying you in one. I saw the funniest one. Some pimp up in Chicago they gunned him down, and he got buried in his Cadillac with a. Okay, take it with you. You're smiling. That's what the stupid pharaohs did. They took and put everything in these elaborate tombs. They kill their pet and put it in there with them. Maybe even servants. Because in the afterlife, you need a servant, don't you? So they'll just kill them so they can go along with you. Now, these are otherwise intelligent, well-to-do, well-polished people that believe this stuff. This is what's out there. You know that. You know full well what's out there. These things that people are worshiping. And you know, people tell me because that's where they go get their nails done, fingernails. They got a little Buddha over here. And they put a little fruit offering up there for it every day. It's a piece of stone, wood, that needs fruit. And they're real serious if you do anything disrespectful or anything about it. It's a classic example of an idol. You pray to it. You burn incense to it. You put fruit out for it for the day. And the fruit's still sitting there at the end of the day. You know, at least in the Bible, fire came down out of heaven and consumed stuff. This is the world we live in. The world of mass confusion. Well, you shouldn't be criticizing others. What? Well, you go read the Bible. The Bible is very critical of misbehavior, false ideas, and false concepts. What do you think these prophets fought against? All that the Lord sent to Israel when Israel was acting insane and doing all this idolatry stuff. What were they supposed to do? Soft pedal it? No. They came down on it. They came down on it. They were serving the Lord to call the people back to God so they could inherit those blessings that they were promised under the law. The lowly refers to those who are of a lower social standing due to material advantages. That would be particularly true in America. In other cultures, it could be that these people were born to nobility. And some of them became converts to Christianity. They're just another member of the royal family. Okay, they got their royal credentials in the human realm, but they're in the plan of God now. And they are to associate. So what it does is it shakes everything up. Typically, people associate with people that are of a common denominator. They don't try to reach up. Well, individuals might, but they don't try to reach up. I'm just going to hang out with billionaires or millionaires or people that live in this neighborhood and frequent these establishments. No, you tend to associate with these kind of people. The people of your general level. But when you come into a local church, people can ostensibly come from all the different backgrounds. And they're brought together, not by common interest in things in the world, but just by a common interest in doctrine. So a rich guy or well-off person is now suddenly has his friend that he associates with that is a blue-collar laborer and not flush with the monetary thing. the poor of the world. The kingdom of God is open to. It's open to them. God doesn't play the game that the cosmos plays. These are the elite. The elite, not many of them are going to make it, even salvation-wise, according to my Bible. Not many wise, not many noble after the flesh. It's almost like a curse. If you were born into one of these nobility families, it's almost all automatically in your head that you're better than everybody else. There are people on earth that think this way, that they think they're little gods over the rest of us. And they know what's best for the human race. Like those Rothschilds and everything, they get together in Switzerland, in Davos, this big ski resort area, Davos. The World Economic Federation, WEF. There's too many of us on the earth. They're the ones that have pushed the climate change agenda and all the things we need to do. He's made these statements, the head honcho, Klaus Schwab, whose father was a Nazi, and married a Rothschild. That's how he's linked into the Rothschild clan. There's just some bad blood there. You know, we might find a Rothschild in phase three. And they're probably Rockefellers that don't like the mainline Rockefellers. They're all like this. And they want a new world order. And they don't want you to have an automobile. They want you to be hacked. It's coming. AI, artificial intelligence. You ought to see some of the videos on it and the things they're trying to do to control us. And so we're the cause of all the problems, and we need to eliminate and get the human species down to an imaginable level. They're not even government elected people. Who made you gods over everything? Why don't you take yourself out first? As you complain about us driving these cars that run on gasoline while you jump around in your yachts and your private jets, phonies. Practice what you preach while you eat in the best restaurants. See? That's the World Economic Forum. What was another statement he made? God is dead and Jesus Christ is fake news. That's what he said. He also said, you will have nothing and you will be happy. Well, he's going to have nothing and he isn't going to be happy. That's what he's stepping into. When God is going to bring those type people down. Their only way out is to turn to Christ, but they won't do that. They're going to play this out. Woe to you rich men. Read James 5. Read it. In the day of the Lord, you're going to weep and howl the miseries that I'm going to tailor make for you. So when I hear these people talk like this and say this, what you sow, you're going to reap. If you take a bunch of seeds from weeds and put them out there in your garden, you're not going to get nice vegetables. You're going to get weeds. Reap what you sow. So many people, all these bad things are happening. Yeah, that's because you've been acting like an idiot. And you've been doing this, and now that's where you're at. It's a divine law. It may be slow in coming, but it's coming. Didn't Dylan have a song like that, Slow Train Coming? Dealing with the second advent, when he went through his Christian spell and had his Christian album. He has a couple songs that are really good. I can get some of them. And then he went back to the cosmos. Cosmos type stuff. There's one real good one, I believe. Because when he became a Christian, Bob Dylan, if you heard his real name, you'd say, well, that's as Jewish as it gets. because he's Jewish. But he changed it to more something that would sell in the American, you know, rock and roll genre type music. But he has a song in there, I Believe. Because when he turned to Christ and he became a believer and was outspoken about it there in the beginning, he got a bunch of hell from people that were his buddies. Persecuted. He got a bunch of hell from his buddies. Rolling Stones. Those guys. Remember them? Yeah. They tended to be, a lot of them tended to be very anti-God. So we are to associate with other members of the royal family. I like the fact that we don't gush over people, and we give people their privacy. And if somebody wants to walk in here and sit down and just be to themselves, fine. But someone will go up and say, hi, how are you? Can I help you? Did you get the notes? Kind of introduce them. And then let them figure it out for themselves. And as we grow up in Christ spiritually, we associate with people. We don't try to mimic their lifestyle, out there in the world. They may not have the money to dress up, but we'll still get together with them and we'll still dress up because this is what we do, or a person does. But we still fellowship with them. They're members of the royal family. What their overt trappings are, what kind of car they got, what neighborhood they live in, blah, blah, blah. That's not relevant to us. It's in the book of James too. They were being criticized for pandering. If they had a visitor come to their church and he was a rich guy, Mr. Goldfinger. No, that's what he says. He comes in with nice clothes on and he's got a big gold ring. And so he has the trappings of a well, if not rich, fellow. And you give him a favored seat. And you make this poor guy that's got not real nice clothes, maybe even a little dirty, shabby, and you make him sit in another place. He said, the poor guy, he's been coming to church. This clown he shows up and you treat him special. We don't treat anybody special, or we treat everybody the same. We try to. I don't know how you treat him out there. If you were at school and you saw a little kid that was a poor kid, he doesn't have the latest Nike shoes or whatever they're wearing now. He doesn't have the latest this or that. He has a little old funky bicycle. You going to treat him right? You bet. You're going to treat him right. The others can look the other way. You don't seek them out just because they're down, but you treat people like they're members of the human race. Now, if they act crazy and are saying crazy, then you draw back from them. But we had all been. We went to high school. And they had the jocks, they had the preppies, and then they had kind of the outcasts over here in the corner. I don't know what they do today. Most of the kids I see walking to school, I go, what? Who in the hell dressed you? But we lost our standards. We couldn't come to school. We didn't have to wear uniforms. But we had to look, we had to be clean, and we had to have that going on. None of the crazy stuff today. You see them wearing. Okay, I'll shut up. I'll get off of that. So I'm running amok. I'm running amok. It's a simple fact that we will treat you as a positive believer until you prove yourself otherwise. We will treat you as an equal. I don't know how you were treated in the past. Maybe you're carrying baggage from the past. Isn't that a lot of fun? Like that woman I talked to. She hated her first husband because it happens. He dumped her for another woman. And he was in the wrong, obviously. if her story is up. He was in the wrong completely. You know what she carried around with her? Bitterness. Bitterness. That is like a cancer that will eat your soul alive because you had bad things happen to you in the past. You got a verse for me? What we're supposed to do with regard to the past? Failures? Disappointments? Do you have a verse for me? Sure you do. Forget it. Well, it's not that easy. What do you mean it's not that easy? Look to the future and look to what God has for you. I don't care if you're 85 years old. You're not going to regain your youth in this life, but you're going to get it back and way then some when you see your resurrection body in the mirror. When you get it. And we'll all get one. He's not going to give us some of us a bad deal. So, I can't think any higher than that. But the Bible says that God is reserved for those who love Him. And who loves God? You say the person that says he does. No. We know that in the human realm. Someone can say they love you and stab you in the back. First chance they get. Talk is cheap. Men will tell women they love them to get their way with them. And then dump them for the next dummy. Happens all the time. So no, those that say they love God and seem devoted. The Jews over in Israel, the religious Jews, they're talking about loving God all the time. They love the God of the Old Testament. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to serve Him and yeah. It all sounds good. But they rejected Jesus Christ. So that kills the whole thing. It blows it all up. No, you don't. You're following the God of this world who denies Jesus Christ as the only Savior before humanity. That's what the God of this world does in every way he can to repudiate, denigrate, whatever word you want to use, the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, as they say, talk is cheap. Talk's nice when it's genuine and sincere, obviously. But the old saying, your actions contradict your words. So we're to associate with the lowly. We are to be of humble heart, as Jesus taught us. Matthew 11:29. Go to the life of Christ, and the same Jesus in his glorified status supports these same principles. Why he is over all and above all, he's still the same as he was at the first advent, except he's in a resurrection body. And he's in heaven. The location is different and the body is different. This is an appeal to the human race. It's out there under all the things humanity is laboring under. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, I'm going to relieve your anxieties and your fears. I'm going to give you a new hope of a new future beyond this life. Take my yoke upon you. Now that's an analogy to animals that they used, that they put a yoke around their neck so they could get them to plow the field. And they would put a yoke around their neck. It was like bridle in a horse's mouth. Take my yoke upon you, which is Bible doctrine in the soul, the directive will of God put another way, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, You don't find a lot of people like that. I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. Because you've got the truth in you now. And you can cope with things like you never did before. You can recognize immediately that the bad things that happen, the people say bad things. I had a bad week. I had a bad whatever. You know that as a believer, God's working everything for good for you. Now you can faith rest that or you can fall apart. See, there's a whole different mindset there. That something didn't happen because it was an accident, even though it could have been called an accident. It is God brought you here and you're going through whatever you do. For my yoke is easy. You might argue that with him. You might get the Lord I want to sit down and argue with you. See, you say my yoke's easy? Well, you do this without Bible doctrine, buddy. See where you're at. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not going to just put so much on this animal, to use the analogy here, the yoke. I'm not going to put so much on this poor animal that's backs like that and it can hardly walk. I'm not going to put more on you than you can handle. We've taught that a million times. To be wise in one's own estimation is to be an opinionated person, intolerant of others. 16. Socially, such type are bores. Consumed with their own supposed self-importance because they saw a program. They read a book. Never mind what the Word of God says. And so they're these opinionated types. Let them defend it. They're not good listeners. 19. They venture opinions of which they are ill-informed. They just shoot their mouths off. This is not the Christian way of life. It's better to say, you know, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, sir. If I can run down an answer for you, I'll try to get back with you. But you've got to make yourself look important, so you've got to tell them something. Even if it's half-baked. No. If you don't know the answer, I'll try to find out what it is. That's a good question. I'll ask someone at Maranatha. It is a cover for inadequacy. All right, next time we have Bible class, hopefully it'll be Tuesday, we will talk about the problem of revenge tactics. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.